Blog Talk Radio.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Will a strong and united America still be a force for freedom and prosperity around the world?
America has created the longest peacetime economic expansion in our history.
We are the heirs of that first revolution.
Good common sense and sound judgment of the American people and their essential love of justice.
Hi, welcome to the Kudzu Vine for January 18th, 2015. I'm your host, David McLaughlin, and join me as always, welcome Catherine Smith.
Greetings from Atlanta.
Yes, and this is our first true political Kudzu Vine show. Mike Tierney and I did a show where he did a little sports special, but this is our first political one. And Catherine and I thought it would be a good idea to kick off 2015 with the Kudzu Vine to kind of set the table, looking at every southern and border state, ranking these 15 states. People can disagree with, agree with us about, you know, Maryland and Oklahoma not being in here, and for West Virginia and what have you. But this is the states we pick, and we'll go through them. You can figure that out, and we'll throw our list up on Facebook as well. You can see where you agree, disagree. Catherine and I are going to have the same list because it's not, you know, this isn't a exactly right or wrong thing. This is an opinion. Now, your opinion can be very different than somebody else's, but that's how we'll go through. So what, no matter what state you live in, we're going to talk for a few minutes about your state, no matter what. But let's kick it off, Catherine. From what I understand, we didn't do a lot of pre-show on this, but we do have this one alike. What do you have as your 15? And that doesn't mean it's not interesting. It just means it's not as interesting as the others.
Well, I have Alabama. Not that it's not interesting, because it's always interesting, but I think as far as power rankings, and, you know, we usually talk about Democratic power here on the Kudzu Vine. So as far as Democratic power, Alabama doesn't have much to offer. And so that's why I ranked it at 15. Plus, they don't have any elections this year, and their legislative session doesn't even start until March. So it's a little something's got to be number 15, and so Alabama it is. No offense to anyone who's listening from Alabama.
And really, if any state is overwhelmingly one party or another, politically, it's going to be hard to be, you know, that interesting. And just like if we were talking about another part of the country, if a state was very, very Democratic, it wouldn't rank very high. But Alabama, Roll Call did a survey, and we never got to discuss it, Catherine. It came out at the end of the year. But Alabama was rated as their most Republican state. Well, unless then they have big-time Republican primaries, it's hard for them to get exciting. And Richard Shelby, he's up in 2018. I just don't think he's going to be in a lot of trouble. You do kind of wonder, with them being so Republican, is Alabama going to want this big-time, you know, Tea Party, hardcore conservative leader, and neither one of their senators are really that guy? I mean, they're not Ted Cruz or Rand Paul or any of these real mover and shakers. So maybe there's a chance that somebody says, I'm going to be that guy. I don't know who it'll be. But that could cause some interest. Another one on the Democratic side that could be something interesting to watch, there was a big, like a Venn diagram, and that's the two circles where parts of the two circles overlap, showing which Democratic congressional representatives voted for the Keystone Pipeline and a Wall Street bill. And there was a list of Congress people that voted for both bills, Democrats, and one person on that list was Terry Sewell, the Democratic representative from Alabama, serves from Birmingham to Montgomery. Very Democratic district. It's decided pretty much in the primary. I wonder if there's a chance if someone from the left would not want to challenge her, because they would probably get a lot of support from the left blogosphere. Did you see that Venn diagram, or have you heard much talk about Terry Sewell and how she's become middle of the road in a district where she didn't have to be unless she wants to be?
Yeah, I suspect the Keystone vote was because of jobs. I don't know if there's any jobs for Alabama in that, but that's the reason that some people vote for it.
Yeah,
that you might,
and
might
then
have
the other.
I don't
and
know
the other
what
bill, but I mean, it was just.
Yeah, her district is very much like John Lewis's in Atlanta. I mean, you know, it encompasses downtown Birmingham, and then it goes stretches down to Montgomery because those are smaller population areas. So she didn't have to vote for those bills unless she believed in them. She believes in them. That's her right. I hope she actually voting how she believes. But then you have to wonder, is she the best representative for such an overwhelmingly Democratic district? So to me, that's going to kind of be a few of the things to watch in Alabama. And if some of those things came to fruition, it gets a little more interesting at that point. Well, let's keep moving through.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the other thing that might make Alabama interesting, and we may talk about this a little bit more as we move up our list, is that the secretaries of state in seven of these southern states are trying to come up with like a mini Super Tuesday on March 1st. So, and Alabama is one of those states. So, but we'll talk about that more as we move up the list, I think.
Yeah, and then, of course, if it's one of seven states, because it's not one of the bigger population states, it could get lost in the shuffle if, you know, Texas, Georgia, and Florida are in on that. But you know, obviously, after President Obama in 2008, you know, started collecting the Dakotas and the Wyomings, maybe people are starting to see if you could collect enough small states, that can add up to a big state, too. So that could help Alabama. Let's go ahead and move on to 14. Catherine, who's your 14?
I have Mississippi.
Okay. Tell us about your thoughts
you?
On Mississippi. I had Tennessee, so I guess what we can do is we can discuss the state both ways, and then we'll continue to go through. And at some point, we'll have discussed states in our rankings, and we just won't carry on about them. So Mississippi.
Well, I have
give
Mississippi
us your thoughts
for. I mean, the one thing about Mississippi that should probably push it up a little bit is that they do have their statewide races this year in 2015. So I may have missed that a little bit. But again, it's such a predominantly Republican red state that, you know, as far as Democratic power, there's not a lot there.
Yeah, it's obviously, you know, very Republican. Not as Republican as Alabama, even though they're kind of mirror images of each other. But something that could make it a little more interesting is you have Jim Hood. Jim Hood is the longtime Attorney General. I mean, he served, he's probably into his third or fourth term, wins when all of the other Republicans win. One of two things could happen here. Either A, he stays in office. Chris McDaniel, the very popular Tea Party figure within the Republican ranks, may run for that seat. He is an attorney. And so if he runs for the Attorney General spot, this could be this big battle, which could be interesting. And, of course, a lot of things get decided at the Attorney General level. When Mike Moore was the Attorney General of Mississippi, he led the charge really nationwide on tobacco, the tobacco legislation. And so it is an important post. Or Jim Hood could say, well, if they're going to come after me, why don't I go for the brass ring? Why don't I run for governor? So I have Mississippi a little later in my rankings, but that's kind of something to look out for. As far as the Senate elections, there's not anything. As far as the congressional races, there's only four now, and all of them are pretty safely in the party they're in. Benny Thompson's the lone Democrat. The other three are Republicans. And, you know, barring somebody, an inter-party challenge, none of those seats are really at risk. I had Tennessee. I'll discuss Tennessee a little bit, and I'll let you discuss Tennessee, Catherine, and then we can later file them in our own ranking spots when it comes up. But there's no gubernatorial election in an odd year, but it is in an even year. It's 2018 election, although Bill Haslam will be running for re-election, and he's not been real controversial. He's not been a real Tea Party guy. I believe he's actually, you know, look at maybe a few middle-of-the-road reforms for a Republican. So he's not, you know, making big waves there. And then, well, I say it's 2018, so it's a while on. And then on the Senate side, you know, nobody's up in 2016 on the Senate side either. So it's just not a lot of elections. There could be some congressional races. The guy that got in so much trouble, and I never can say his French name. I took Spanish, maybe Catherine, you took French. Scott Desjardins. I need to hear it pronounced more out loud and always read it instead of hear it pronounced. You have to think that somebody's going to come after that guy. Also, there's a chance that Marsha Blackburn may try to seek a higher office, I've heard. Would love to maybe make some kind of dark horse presidential or even a VP type run. So that might open that up. But that's kind of where I had Tennessee at 14. So just don't have the elections going. What's your thoughts on Tennessee?
I had Tennessee at 9. Just because I'm you know, it's a neighboring state and I'm kind of always kind of interested in it. And they are one of the ones that may have one of these Super Tuesday primaries on March 1st. So I just it sometimes just where it fits in as I'm going through it. What there's no like dynamic reason that I put it at number 9, but that's where it ended up.
Well, and remind us when we get to 9, you can go ahead and just say it out too as well. Now 13, what'd you have at 13?
Texas.
Okay. Let's go ahead and we'll discuss Texas now. And just real quickly so it'll be on the audio, I had Mississippi at 13, but we've covered Mississippi. So now Texas, tell us why you put it there.
Well, again, because it seems like not a lot going on there. They were pretty lively this past year with the governor's races, and so I'm not expecting a lot of Democratic power coming out of there. I could be wrong. It is one of the states that some people think may be trending, but I'm not of that belief yet.
Yeah, that's why usually I have Texas, you know, higher. It's the second biggest state in the nation, so it just by sheer numbers it matters. And back when I thought it was more of a, you know, fringe swing state that could trend, I always had it higher because it's, you know, if a state the size of Texas switches, you know, there goes, you know, electoral competitive politics at that point. I mean, there's really no scenario in which the Republicans lose all the states they're currently losing and they lose Texas. I mean, they're not even close at that point. But now that I think that's a little further away, that's more problematic. Now, some things in their favor. If that primary proposal does happen, Texas is going to be the major prize, really on both sides, because even though, you know, Texas may not be fixing to flip in the Electoral College, when it comes to electing delegates, it's important in both parties. It's huge on the Republican side.
That's a good point.
Major on the Democratic side, because I remember in 2008, it was a big deal, even though I think the Republican primary may be much more contentious. And Jeb Bush, if he's one of the front runners, his brother may have to get involved in his former home state, and his presidential power in his own home state may have to get tested. And what if Rick Perry also runs, and both of those guys are two of the final three or four standing at that point? How interesting that would be, particularly if George W. Bush had to get involved. Other things that could be interesting in that same year. Well, they say that Louis Gohmert, which is always likes to make news, he may be challenging for the Speaker of the House. Even if he doesn't, that doesn't go anywhere. It may keep coming up, and he may try to be some kind of shadow figure in the House. And a final one I think could be interesting is people talk about Hillary Clinton gets the nomination. She decides to pick her VP candidate for the future, and she looks at the mayor of San Antonio.
Yeah.
And that could then make Texas even more interesting. Of course, the large Hispanic population, and see what happens there. Because I don't know if I just read recently, Univision. The GOP is not doing any debates on Univision. It's kind of like they are completely closing out, you know, the Hispanic population, and of course that could impact Texas a little more, and that'd be another interesting thing to watch. So kind of all those factors wrapped in. Of course, Catherine, if I bring anything up and you want to respond to it, you just let me know.
Oh no, I think you made a lot of good points. I probably should have bumped Texas up.
And you had Texas at 12, correct?
13.
13, and of course, I think I jumped in. I had Mississippi, so we now are to 12. So I wasn't totally off base there. What do you have for 12, Catherine?
I have West Virginia.
Okay, and
I have nothing to say about West Virginia.
And Catherine,
spot.
Yeah, and Catherine, as I look at this thing, I'm going, what in the world did I do wrong? And I see what I did wrong. I actually had Mississippi down, and I had, for some reason, I had Michigan down. Don't quite know why I had Michigan down, but I think I had Mississippi twice, honestly, Catherine, but I should have put West Virginia there. Regarding West Virginia, one thing that would be something to watch is their, I guess he's now their senior senator, their former governor, who is a Democrat, and I am looking up on Texas because some of these names are escaping me. I remember, Joe Manchin. And Joe Manchin, he's up in 2018, so it's not up this time. But, of course, he's going to be this huge swing vote. There's so very few blue dog figures in the Democratic Party and elective power still left, and Joe Manchin is one of the few. And so it's going to be interesting to see how he votes on things. Also, there's talk he may run for governor again. Now, that's down the road, but he'll start kind of laying the groundwork for that because I guess their current governor, who is term limited in 2016, Earl Ray Tomlin, can't run. And the 2016 governor's race will be interesting because as West Virginia's gone so far to the right on the presidential races, people can still get elected in that state to statewide office. Their governor, their secretary of state, their auditor, their state treasurer, their agriculture commissioner, all Democratic. Patrick Morrissey, the attorney general, is the only Republican. And so it'll be interesting to see if that state goes back again in the Republican column presidentially, can Democrats continue to defy logic in some ways and win all these states? I'm sorry, all these statewide offices. What do you think, Catherine?
Well, that's why it'll be interesting to watch it. But it's such a small state, I guess that's why it ended up so low on my list.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not, once again, a huge population. And sometimes population of two states are equal, but one with more people is just going to take precedence if everything else is equal. Well, my state at 12 was Maryland, and it's kind of the flip side of Alabama in a way, I guess. It's very Democratic. It has eight congressional seats. Seven of the eight are Democratic. The two senators, which Barbara Mikulski is up this time, should she decide to run again, I know she's getting older, you think she wins. And so it's just not that competitive, although there was kind of a something thrown into the works. Larry Hogan was the pretty big underdog gubernatorial candidate against the sitting lieutenant governor, and he won. And so I think win, that thing's so Democratic, it's just not very competitive. What's your thoughts on it?
Well, I have Maryland at number one.
The most interesting.
Because of that upset, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in 2015 and 2016 because of that upset. I mean, even though it's predominantly Democrat, it'll be interesting for me to watch and see if that was just a one-off, that Republican, the Republican elected to the governorship, or if that it was a trend. So that's why I have it at number one.
Yeah, I mean, that to me was one of the big races that showed that was a really Republican trending year. when that race flipped, we're out, kind of out of nowhere.
Oh, that was the one on election night, that was the reason I didn't go to any of the other parties. When I heard that in the car, I was like, okay, I'm going home. I don't want to be around all these Democrats tonight.
Yeah, because that was just kind of out of the blue. There was a few others you can mention, but in the states we cover that, and, of course, the close Virginia race that was close out of nowhere because no one predicted that would be happening. Well, state 11, what do you have on your rankings at 11?
North Carolina.
Okay. Well, state of the Carolinas, I had South Carolina. Well, let's go ahead and let's discuss North and South, and then we'll keep going through. Why do you have North there?
I don't have a good explanation. Why do you have South there?
Well, because South Carolina, well, once again, I thought it was kind of like Texas and Georgia. It's that next set of states to trend, if you will. But it, you know, it's pretty Republican. I think the Democratic candidate and that ran twice, he actually did worse this time than he did last time. And that may be part of the fact that it was more Republican year, but 2010 was as well. But Nikki Haley won office. Every single statewide office, constitutional officer, is a Republican. Both state senators are Republican. Now, Tim Scott is running again, this time for a full term. He served one thing to serve out this term. Didn't have much trouble. He's running for his full term. This will be against the backdrop of a presidential year. And so that could make it a little more interesting. I guess one thing that maybe I should have had a little higher, and I think you pointed this out in pre-show, they have that early primary. That's kind of the third primary.
Yeah, that's why I had them
first
higher.
Other one. And yeah, I think that was a good point. Now, I may have missed a little bit off on that one, but it's just not trended as Democratic as it was as fast as it was expected to. So therefore, you can't be very interesting if you're such a one-party state. And on North Carolina, your state here, you know, North Carolina is going to have a gubernatorial election in 2016, and the fellow will be running. Yeah, it'll be Pat McCrory, who was mayor of Charlotte. He'll be running for re-election. But Roy Cooper, who's the attorney general, who's been a congressman, he served in the legislature. You know, he has a lot of experience, if you will, varied experience. Actually, he's been a state senator, a state rep, and he's been attorney general. Just really made a lot of connections. He's running for this thing. Actually, Ken Spaulding, another state rep, former state rep, he's running. There's more guys rumored to be running, including the Raleigh mayor, the I believe Anthony Fox, who's the U.S. Secretary of Transportation, and he had been Charlotte mayor. He's looking at this thing. I mean, obviously some people in North Carolina think this thing can get flipped. And, you know, there's still some seats that are Democratic, which means the Republicans are probably thinking we can win those. And so, you know, a lot of things hang in the balance. As far as Senate, Richard Burr is up for another term, and some of the same folks that are looking at that gubernatorial race are looking. Kay Hagan's looking. So if Kay Hagan were to run against Burr, that could be a huge battle. And, of course, it is the swingiest of swing states these days because President Obama won it in 2008 and lost it in 2012. It was the only state to swing in the last two elections. And so, to me, all this put together, you know, I had North Carolina higher in my rankings. I'm going to tell you where I had it. I had it at number four. But once again, we're going to have some different things, and that's okay. What'd you have at 10?
Missouri.
Okay, Missouri, and I had Texas at 10. We've covered Texas. Now we can talk about Missouri. Missouri, what are your thoughts?
I just thought that it was, you know, we'll be, of course, be watching it because it's sort of been one of those states that we kind of hope that we'll win and then we don't, or then we don't think we're going to win and we do. It's like sort of a swing state, but not really. So where do you have it?
Well, I had it up a little higher, but not too far. I had it at 10.
Yeah, so do I.
From Missouri. Yeah.
That's where we are.
I'm sorry, six. I was trying to keep track of my thing. I had it at, I had Missouri at 6, but, you know, it does have its gubernatorial election along with the presidential election, and so you're going to have
that always makes
the presidential
it more interesting.
Election. It should be sort of a swing state. I mean, we got to get some polls out to clearly see that. You know, both sides are going to go for the governorship. You have the ex-state House Speaker, Catherine Hanaway. She's already running as a Republican. You have Chris Koester, the sitting Attorney General, running as a Democrat. Interesting enough, I don't think the Lieutenant Governor, who's a Republican, is running for this thing. So you already have your two candidates put in there. Roy Blunt is up for election as a senator. And so, and then there's rumors that Claire McCaskill might decide to run for governor. Although I guess if their attorney general would run, you know, you have a top shelf candidate. Although you have the backdrop, and this is the epicenter of a lot of the protest activity. We didn't really get a chance to discuss it because it kind of happened after the election, and we kind of, you know, went on a little bit of holiday break. But you know, you have all the Ferguson.
That's a really good point. I hadn't really thought about
it. If Nixon got brought into that, I'm sure the Attorney General, just based on his office, would have been brought into it. And, of course, that gets into the primary in a lot of ways and then can get in the general. So all that gets kind of mixed in. And you know, a lot of it was made of, instead of just protesting, also you need to register and vote. How many people are going to take that advice and say, hey, in a democracy, the ballot box is the most powerful weapon anyone has. It'll be interesting to see if people, you know, put that advice into action. So, and that can be true in any state, but I guess Missouri being the epicenter for where it all started, you know, that's kind of a factor there.
We already talked about Tennessee. I have Tennessee at 9, but we already talked about that.
My 9 was West Virginia. We already talked about 9. And Catherine, you've really taught me into saying I was just wrong with West Virginia at 9. I just kind of had a brain freeze or something there. I should have had almost any other state other than, like, Alabama and Tennessee higher. You know, once again, there's something interesting there, but it's just not as much as others, so you taught me out of it. Let's go to 8. What do you have at 8?
Arkansas.
Catherine, first time since Alabama. We agree about these eight states. I have Arkansas, too. I have Arkansas as 8 as well. One of those things where, you know, when you want to say something's left, but you want to say it's correct, and you say right, and it's confusing. But we both had Arkansas at 8. Well, tell us your thoughts on Arkansas.
Well, I am always hopeful for Arkansas, and they are one of the states that is contemplating this primary. So, you know, they fit into that. So I'm always hopeful that we'll regain some power there, additional power there.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it's one reason it got this high. I will say it does have a Senate election in 2016. And, of course, you know, these are kind of cyclical where it takes 2 years to really kind of develop. John Boozman is running for reelection. I don't think he's this big powerhouse. I think with the right candidate, that thing could be competitive. Don't know if that's Mark Pryor again or maybe the former governor, Mike Beebe. But then it really gets into the presidential race to be why it gets rated so highly. Obviously, if Mike Huckabee were to run, he could add intrigue into Arkansas. But more than anything, Hillary Clinton, former first lady, is your nominee. If she can't run better, not necessarily even win it, but if she can put it in play, you start to say Arkansas is you know, not trending as hard as we thought, because it is one of the hardest trending Republican states in the nation from presidential affairs. And so if she, you know, having been a resident of the state for, I guess, upwards of 20 years, the first lady two different times, if she can't do much with Arkansas, I don't think it can be done. but obviously watching it is going to be fun. How much intrigue do you believe Hillary Clinton injects into Arkansas politics?
I think she injects a lot of intrigue into that, into Arkansas. And then just the, you know, like you said, if, you know, Huckabee, who has been, you know, spouting off the last few days about the president, if he, you know, gets into the fray, then it also adds some interest just because he tends to say a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, I think he's going to have to end the show. That Republican field is so full, although I saw once again, it wasn't the Venn diagram, it was this grid that showed where all the Republican possible, you know, candidates are, and it was only him and Rick Santorum in the, you know, religious conservative quadrant. And obviously, if, like, let's say it, there's one candidate of each quadrant, I believe he has a better chance at taking that quadrant than Rick Santorum. That means he's probably going to be able to last a little longer and be on the scene and bringing Arkansas a little more to the forefront. Let's continue to go on for to seven. Catherine, who do you have at seven?
Florida, which is really low. I'm looking at this now, and I'm thinking it should be up higher.
Yeah, it's, and this is the great thing, is we can do this thing part of the way through the year, summer, maybe even sooner if we need to. I mean, we do this more than once a year, so we can. And if we all had the same ranking every time, we never change, then it wouldn't be worth doing a show. So it's okay. Well, we'll discuss Florida in a minute. I'll go ahead and tell you my number seven is Georgia. But then
really?
Florida and Georgia have some similarities. Let's go ahead and talk about Florida. Catherine, what do you see as some of the kind of the high points? Because we are in the upper half now of the rankings.
Yeah. Well, you know, Florida's always interesting when we go into primaries and presidential elections. It's just, it's always a hotbed of interest. And it is one of the states that, again, might be doing these March 1st primaries, so that adds another level of interest. And then if Jeb Bush runs, being a resident of Florida, it adds, you know, a little even more dimension to Florida. So, really, I should have had it ranked higher, but I didn't. What do you think about Florida?
Yeah, I have Florida up a little higher. I can tell you my exact. I had Florida at number three, but we can kind of talk. I can tell you some things I do think are interesting. I think you're right about Jeb Bush, it being his home state. If it's he's the nominee in particular, then can he win that state? Because if he could flip Florida, now there's still, you know, very, you know, several paths to the to the presidency for the Democratic Party, but that really changes, you know, the political calculus and changes the map if he were to be able to do that. I don't know if he can. Also, if Marco Rubio were to decide to run for the nomination at the same time as Jeb Bush, oh, that Florida Republican primary would be one of the most interesting primaries of either party in any of the 50 states. I mean, you got 100 of them, and it might be the number one, certainly the number top five out of those 100 primaries. And then if Marco Rubio decides not to run, he still has to win election, a re-election, and some, you know, candidates are starting to line up. You already have Pam Keith, who, if the websites are to be believed, and sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't, she's really, you know, putting together that part of a credible campaign. You also have Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's apparently looking at it, Gwen Graham, another congresswoman, Ted Deutch, another congressman. So you have at least three congressional representatives that may be looking to make the jump up. And a guy that works on polo fields and was a 2010 state rep candidate, DJ DiRenzo, has already announced his candidacy to run against Marco Rubio in the primary. Don't know if he's Tea Party in him from the polo fields, but, you know, you've already got all that going. And, of course, Florida is one of the few states anymore that has congressional elections. Not a lot of their 27 districts, but a handful of those 27 districts are actually up for grabs. And so that's kind of a good thing if you want to follow politics. So kind of mix all that in, and that's why I had Florida up a little higher. But I mentioned, you know, Georgia. I had Georgia lower. Georgia seems like it's always in the top half. And last year, if we had done one, say, Labor Day, it would have been one of the top one or two. But it, to me, it falls back if, because maybe you and I disagree, but I think at this point, Johnny Isakson is not very vulnerable. I do think it's a swing state in the presidential race, and that's why it gets up higher. But I just don't see it, the Senate race being what I hoped it would be. Do you have maybe some information I don't have about either Johnny Isakson's campaign or who the Democratic Party may put up against him?
Well, I have Georgia at number three, mainly because I'm, you know, we live here and I'm interested in it, and I'm again hopeful that, you know, we might have some success in that we might continue to make progress in the Democratic field, just increasing our numbers, even if we don't win. I agree with you. I think Isakson is, you know, would be a really tough challenge for even for a Republican to challenge him in the primary or for a Democrat to challenge him in the general. I'm not saying I don't think we should. I always think, I mean, I think if there's a good candidate to run against him, it's worth a try. It's always good to be in the game. But he's well-liked. I mean, he's voted favorably on things that I believe in on a number of occasions. So he's not as bad as some of the Republican senators. I think he's a thoughtful and careful man, and I have respect for him.
Yeah, and what's funny about that is you would think that would get him in trouble in his own party and he would get Tea Party, but I don't get the sense he will be. Now, if he were to get Tea Party, that could make that race more interesting, and it would raise Georgia's ranking up, probably for both of us. Now, I will say this. I was looking at his website because, of course, when you go to Politics One, it has all of them linked, and so I look around, and you can get the latest from Johnny. You can sign up for his email list, and it is a three-part process. First question, this is the only one I can see. It says, what is your name? I find that kind of crazy that they do it that way. And then apparently once you put in your name, I didn't put in my name because I don't need any more political email. I get plenty. You then go to step two, which I guess is probably your zip code or your city. And then you do step three, and I bet that's your email or vice versa. And that's Stoneridge Group, who is really cutting edge, one of the best Republican companies at doing websites. But I find that email sign-up pretty cumbersome. Now, they may be able to explain and say, hey, this is why we did it this way. But have you ever heard of a three-step, three-screen email sign-up field, Catherine?
No, and it sounds kind of stupid if you're trying to build your list.
Yeah, make it a little more complicated than it has to be. But, you know, I mean, maybe there's a method to their madness. If I went to some workshop and heard them talk, I'd be a believer. But on first glance, I'm like, it'll be interesting if that thing's gone in a few weeks, months, we'll know that it was a dog and it didn't hunt and it was time to move on from that. So we'll see. Number six, Catherine, that's where I had Missouri. I think we talked about that. What do you have at number six?
South Carolina.
So, and we talked about South Carolina. We're going to have a few of these. And, Catherine, I don't know that we'll go the full hour, and that's okay because, you know, a lot of times it's just you and I doing kind of a one-topic thing like this, and this is kind of a 15-yet one-topic thing. We do that. Number five, who do you got number five?
Louisiana,
and I have Virginia, so this will be two new discussions. Let's go with
I have Virginia at four, so we're right there.
At four, so we're kind of close. Well, let's go with the Bayou State. Tell us your initial thoughts on Louisiana.
Well, you know, there's always something crazy happening in Louisiana. So, you know, I like to keep it towards the top of the list, make sure we check in there regularly. No specific. Now, do they have their governor's elections in 2015?
They do. They have it in 2015. And actually, all of their statewide offices are up this year in November. So that's worth something right there.
Is Bobby Jindal running again?
No, he is term limited, and so that's why I think it gets interesting. You've got Scott Angel. It could be pronounced either way, particularly through those French pronunciations. And he is a public service commissioner. He's been lieutenant governor. You have Jake Jardine. Desjardins, he is the lieutenant governor, and he's been ex-Secretary of State. He's been on the Baton Rouge City Council. He's been a state senator. David Bitter's running. You have John Bell Edwards, who's the state minority leader. He's a Democrat, though. Mitch Lindrew could throw his hat in the ring. I mean, there's just so many
running for this. They have that crazy primary system, right?
Yeah, known as a jungle primary, which it sounds like you're out in the jungle with a machete, and the one that or the two that walk out of the jungle first get to, be on the ballot. So it'd be interesting. You would think that John Bell Edwards, with all of these heavy hitter Republicans, he's going to make it out, but against which Republican? Because this is a pretty stout list here. Of course, the big name is our favorite guy, David Vitter, but, he's willing to leave the D.C. scene, if you will. I won't say any more about that since we've discussed it numerous times on the Kudzu Vine.
That's going to be interesting. Like I said, always good to have it towards the top of the list. Keep it in. Scope.
Yeah, I mean,
so then
really,
you have
Louisiana,
Virginia as four, right?
I do. I mean, let's kind of stay in just another second with Louisiana. I mean, Louisiana was probably, has some of the most interesting politics in the history of our nation. Unfortunately, it's kind of gotten slow lately. I mean, it's really, it's slowed down, if you will. But the fact that Bobby Jindal has really been in charge of that state for a few years is moving on. It's bringing the intrigue back. So hopefully Louisiana will have some stories to tell. I have a video. It literally is a VHS tape. I don't know that I even have anything I can show it on. But it's about Louisiana politics and the history. And I just bought it on eBay or something because of how interesting Louisiana politics is. You really probably can't buy these for all 50 states because some of them put you to sleep, some of these states, but not Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Virginia. Yeah, Virginia. I had it up high, and it doesn't have its elections till 2017, but because they have no term limits, I mean, everything in Virginia is just a full-time sport, if you will. They're always perpetual campaign and run for the next one because you got to angle in for the next cycle, so that'll be going on. But I guess the reason I had Virginia up so high, and I maybe have it a little too high, is I have it up this high because their state house and their state senate, they have the most competitive districts. When somebody decides to vacate a seat in Virginia, it's a swing district, it seems like, always. And it's like their state house and state senate are so close that one guy retired or one lady, leave an office can flip this thing. And they had an election just recently that flipped. It was a Republican, a female Republican state delegate left. The Democrats won the thing. It was probably the only good news of the past 2 months for Democrats, it seems like, as far as, in elections, certainly in the South. And there's going to be more of these. You just always get the sense that they're going to have more of these things going on. And also, it is a swing state in presidential politics. But I do think I have it a tad high, but it still would never sink that low. What's your thoughts?
Well, I have it high because of how close the governor's race was in November, which makes me think it's just going to be an interesting state to watch because now, a lot of that can be credited just to the Republican sweep, but I still think that because it was so tight, it's important to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, and of course you got that fellow Dave Bratt who beat I'm drawing a blank on the big leader, Eric Cantor. He beat Eric Cantor, and if it's a real Republican district, is a big name Republican going to come after Dave Bratt, or is it
right.
more of a swing district where we can put a good Democratic candidate up and win that thing? And so it's just an interesting state. And I think it has been the past, say, 10 years. It'll continue to be so. And so we'll be following it. And we'll be talking to Lowellfeld, you know, on the show here and there as well. But that's what we had at number five. Number four, I had North Carolina. We've discussed North Carolina. Where did you have it at number four?
Number four, I had Virginia. So
Virginia. So we
Virginia.
Just discussed Virginia. We were close on Virginia. Number three, I had Florida. You had?
Georgia.
Georgia. Since you had it a little higher than me, any more things you want to say about Georgia, or did we pretty much cover that one?
I think we covered it. I just like to keep an eye. You know, I'm here, and it's interesting to me. And I think, like I said, I think I'm interested to see if we can continue to grow the Democratic power base, you know, slowly but surely.
Yeah, and obviously it was, I don't think it's been as interesting as it was last cycle in the past, you know, 10, 12 years. I mean, because really in a lot of ways, I didn't think 2002, you thought it was going to be that interesting, so you didn't know it was so close until it happened. And so, you know, 2014 was, you know, one of the best cycles in quite a while. And can we
yeah.
achieve that again until, say, 2018? But we will see. So you had Georgia at which number again? Because we're
three.
So many. We just three.
We're at
three. And I had Florida at three. We've talked about Florida. It's pretty high up there. So two, I had Louisiana. What'd you have at two?
Kentucky.
I had Kentucky at one. What was your number one? We'll go ahead and tell that
Maryland.
One.
Maryland. We already talked
Maryland.
About
Maryland. Yeah, you said you, well, I know we talked about. So Kentucky's our final state. You had it two, I had it one. Obviously, we're in pretty good agreement that Kentucky is going to be a big state. And by the way, we have not had a Kentucky guest in quite some time. We had made some inroads with two Republican co-hosts on Blog Talk Radio. They had been on, I think, with you and Tim in the past. We had Joe Sanko on Barefoot and Progressive. I believe we had Dell Emmons on in the past. But if anybody wants to come on from Kentucky, reach out to us because we need to talk about Kentucky multiple times this year. And that's because they're such a big state with elections that are going on. 2015, every constitutional office is up. Catherine, which ones are you kind of looking at being more interesting than others?
I haven't looked at them all very closely. I just know that they're up, and there's going to be a lot of, I think, a lot of lively politicking going on in Kentucky in 2015.
Yeah, I know
that. And it sets it up for 2016 as well.
Yes. And it does. Can it trend a little more Democratic in the presidential year? Because it's when another state like Tennessee, like Oklahoma, like Arkansas that has trended more Republican. Now, talking about their governor's race, you have Jack Conway, the sitting attorney general, who has already named his lieutenant governor candidate because they run as a ticket. Saney Overly.
Oh, that's right.
And on the Republican side, I mean, you still have some other Democrats looking at this thing. On the Republican side, you have several little teams. You have Jeff Young and Cherokee. Actually, they're Democrats. I apologize. You have James Cromer, who's the state agriculture commissioner, Chris McDaniel, different than the one that runs in Mississippi, obviously, be constitutional issues if it wasn't, but he's a state senator, and they're running together. You have a Louisville councilman and a Lexington council person. They're running together for Hal Hainer and Casey Crosby. They're running together, and you have some more teams. You have an ex-state Supreme Court justice who's still got to name his. That's Will T. Scott. He's got to name his running mate. And so the Republican primary sounds like it's a little bit in flux. I have the feeling the Democratic primary is kind of be set. Allison London Grimes, it looks like if she was going to run for this thing, she would have already had to make a move since it's later this year. And Andy Beshear, who had who's son of Steve Beshear, he's running for attorney general. I mean, you just got a lot of races that are all decided this year. And, you know, it seems like a lot of folks are moving up, not everybody. I mean, Allison London Grimes, she's actually going to have somebody run against her as a Republican. You know, can she hang on to her constitutional office to then have a chance to run for future office? Because she is still, you know, just like in her mid-30s, so she has plenty of time to move up to office later on. But, of course, she has to win this one to, you know, keep her viability going from election to election. So, Kentucky, any more thoughts on the federal level or anything else, Catherine?
No, I think you hit it. Those are the reasons that I'm sure we'll be talking about it, and we'll be watching it closely.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, since we got right about 10 minutes or less, we did pretty good filling this thing up. Any more political happenings you want to share tonight before we go?
You know, I just want to briefly talk just a minute about the opening of the Georgia state, the Georgia legislature this week. The first day of the session was Monday. Not much happened Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was there just briefly on Monday just to see, get the lay of the land and see how things were going. But, you know, they're talking about the budget, and they did the state of the state, and they it was pretty quiet. I mean, there's some bills that have dropped, but nothing. I mean, there's certainly things to talk about, but nothing. I think that some of the bills that have been dropped are probably going to be changed. The religious freedom bill, I understand, is going to be changed, and then a Senate bill is going to be dropped too. So I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about that as it gets heated up in the next couple weeks. But they did start, and they're underway, and I'll have more information next week after they've, you know, done a little bit more work. They spent a lot of time with, you know, inaugurations and state of the state and response to the state of the state and all that kind of stuff. So, but that's that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I've just unfortunately gotten to the point where it's like the less they do, the better, since so much of their work in the Republican, you know, legislature, since they have almost, you know, pretty much super majorities, the less they do, the better. Although you think what kind of opportunities are being wasted by their inaction on certain issues like transportation, like education. I guess, you know, even though it may not produce many jobs, the Mercedes-Benz plant coming, or not plant, but headquarters coming to Atlanta, they can add things like that as, oh, we are creating jobs. It's just that we, I think all of America is creating jobs. We're just lagging behind at this point. So we'll continue to watch the legislature of our state as well as other states, because you don't know who will be coining their own money, or, you know, we've seen all the crazy bills in the past 8 years of the kudzu behind. So that was our initial effort. Catherine, I'll go ahead and throw mine up on Facebook on our kudzu
page. Oh, I will
too.
I'll try to get to it tonight.
Yeah, just you can reply to mine, or, you know, you can put it on your own wall. I guess look at the kudzu vine wall as well would be good. And then we'll be back next week for another show.
Okay. Good night, everybody.
Everybody.
Thanks, David.
Night.